G3. The Model of Being and Its Universal Laws. Number 15B.
So again, my question. You have read those pages over and over. I know. It's a whole page about forces and changes of forces. And when she was saying that adhesion, cohesion, and attraction, those three terms would at once respond and resound within us as that what we have learned in school, as attraction is a material force, cohesion is a material force, adhesion is a material force. And so we were thinking these are material forces. But she then says adhesion, cohesion, attraction are properties of mind, capital M. She didn't say they are material forces. And that always bothered me. That was the irritation I was talking about, why I never really could understand those two pages, 124, 25. Because she said they belong to the divine principle. They are therefore forces of principle. Though, as we know, they were investigated since 400 years as material forces. And even more that, they support the equipoise. I'd like you to make a notice of the term equipoise. They support the equipoise of thought force. Now suddenly it is a thought force. Because it is a forces of mind. So adhesion, cohesion, attraction to her are properties of the divine mind, belonging to the divine principle. Therefore, they cannot be material forces. So they are thought forces, which she calls them. And so these forces support the equipoise, the balance of that thought force which launched the Earth into its orbit. Now the Earth is our Earth that is launched into its orbit and said to the proud wave, thus far and not further. That's naturally a biblical symbolism, which says that that thought force can control how far that force should expand itself, should apply itself. It is within the control of that thought force. It never goes out of control. That's why she says it upholds the equipoise, the balance, so that the forces are not becoming wild forces. The moment forces become wild forces, they are destructive. And so it has to keep them under control. You hear also the cybernetic sense of being, that there is something there that keeps always the balance of the changes and says to the proud wave, thus far and not further. Can you see what happened? That Mrs. Eddy was speaking in levels, in dimensions. At one point, she depicts the level of the material universe by saying that that atomic action and energies are material. She speaks about the same thing on a higher level and says, well, there are no forces next to the one force called mind. Or you have a dualistic universe. You have no more a holistic science. So the explanation that we, from outside to the holistic sense, think that there is a material universe is just our point of view. But not reality. Reality is from within the wholeness, from within the standpoint of the divine mind. And there she said that divine mind is behind the Big Bang. She says it launched the Earth into its orbit. That's one way of saying, a third time she could have said, it was the divine mind that launched the Big Bang into being and had a very wonderful sense of keeping the equipoise, namely that out of disorder, of chaos, came more and more order. So if we have a dimensional sense of being, we can really see that the Big Bang was not first chronologically. That first chronologically is what Mrs. Eddy says is the divine mind. That divine mind, as we know, is multidimensional and can translate itself to the level of human existence, of material existence, which then appears as the launching into being the whole cosmos. It is the same thing as what you experience day in and day out in Christian Science, that you say mind is first chronologically, potentially, and eternally. And if I understand that mind, it translates itself to the level of my material body and brings to my material body health instead of sickness. It holds the equipoise of my material system. Isn't that what we do on the level of Christian Science? That we entertain really the holistic sense of mind as capital M, well knowing that mind is not one-dimensional. There's not just the one dimension of being, just that higher spiritual sense of mind, but has within itself the law of translatability to every level of experience, and therefore also to the level of experience of the body, and keeps the body in balance. It keeps the temperature of our blood in balance, it keeps the heartbeat in balance, it keeps the flow of the blood in balance, it keeps many, many organs constantly in balance. There are hundreds of different cybernetic systems in a human body that have to be kept in balance if it is harmonious, if it's healthy. And so there we feel that's quite natural. But the same law operates in the universe because it's a divine principle, an infinite principle. And so we can see how it is that before what humanly is called the Big Bang, there was still first chronologically and potentially and eternally one cause, the divine mind. And that the universe as we have it from a material standpoint is just one expression of that eternal mind and its manifestation. And I put the accent on one expression because it has multiple expressions. You can ask any good thinking physicist, like Einstein was asked, is this the only universe? And he said, by heavens, no. We live here and see one universe, and at the same place where we are, in the same room where we are, there exist many, many universes of which we don't take notice because we are not on that level. So the universe as we see, the universe of the Big Bang is just one kind of universe that is the manifestation of that one cause, the divine mind. And that divine mind has many other manifestations, and we are only not geared in our consciousness to that. I always take that rather funny example that everybody can understand, that with our eyes we can only see the light waves. We cannot see the X-rays. If our eyes were built differently, and they could easily be built differently, there is no reason why they should not be built differently. If they would be built like an X-ray, then we would see quite a different universe sitting here in this room. We could then go to Disneyland, to the ghost house, and see all the ghosts sitting around. Everybody would appear just as some kind of a skeleton that we see, and not as flesh and bones. So we wouldn't change, the universe wouldn't change, but the view of the universe would change. Reality remains reality. View of the reality would change. If we see that, then we understand what Mrs. Eddy said, which I never could really understand. I just believed it and talked that way too. Actually, it was a bit of a dishonest proposition that Mrs. Eddy says, we tread on forces. We always thought we are treading on matter. But she says, no, we tread on forces. Why? Einstein has shown that matter and energy can be exchanged. We could look at it at the same universe, either as a material universe or as an energy universe. So we tread on forces. Forces. But what kind of forces? And we thought, well, forces must be very strong, they must be very materially strong so that we can tread on them. But that was not what she meant. We tread on forces, withdraw them, and creation must collapse. So again, she indicates that all these forces that hold the Earth in its orbit, that holds all the people to the Earth so that they don't fall out of bed at midnight, that there is a force that binds them to the Earth. These are all forces. Withdraw them, and creation must collapse. These forces belong wholly to the divine mind. So attraction, cohesion, adhesion, all these forces, atomic action, belongs to the divine mind. They are inherent in this mind. But now comes the point. And so restore them to their rightful home and classification. So she said, the moment we can see that that mind is the only cause and effect, that there are no other forces but the forces of mind, that these mind forces are adhesion, cohesion, attraction, atomic forces, and so on, then we restore them to their proper classification. If we consider them, or I could put the accent a bit differently. If we consider them material, that's our business. But that don't make them material. Can you see? What we attribute to the universe does not mean to exist in reality. Our attribute is something which we take from us and attribute to something else. That's our job. That's not what happens in reality. In reality, reality is what reality knows about itself, not what we attribute to reality. And now we can go back to what David Bohm recently said in an interview, that he said, that's the ignorance of today, that we believe that the way we conceive of the universe is the real universe. And he said it isn't. I read you this passage. If I find it, that's always... I even found it. It is ignorance. Ignorance concerns the most universal habit, it had really become a habit, of taking the content of our thought, for the description of the world as it is. Can you see? That's ignorance. Thinking that what we think reality is, and then say, this is reality, so as to take human conception as divine conception. That's real ignorance. And that's why he then said, the oneness of reality cannot be contained within our limit conceptual formulation. There is a reality which is beyond man. So there is a reality beyond the universe that began with the Big Bang. And that's where we have to start out and see this universe as we see and live in today is just one human conceptual universe, which we attribute to be the real and only universe. But slowly even the physicists begin to realize that this is only one possible manifestation of the universe. There are many other possible manifestations of the universe. So that the moment we begin to be able to reason in levels, now we come back again to levels, to dimensions, we don't take one presentation of the universe, starting with the Big Bang and expanding in a rather harmonious way, expanding, bringing out of chaos order. We must not think that this is the only dimension that is possible. That's a one-dimensional thinking. And so if we can think multidimensional, we at least overform that concept to a divine level and see on a divine level we have one cause, and that's divine mind and not the Big Bang. We have that first cause, and that's not the Big Bang. The first cause is mind, the divine mind. We have not as the first power atomic action as matter, but we have as a first power, first potentially, divine mind, and the power of divine mind as the atomic action of mind. So we tread on forces. She says another thing. Withdraw God, divine principle, from man and the universe, and man and the universe would no longer exist. Can you see? Withdraw the higher level. The level of the divine mind creation. Withdraw that, then the translation of it is also withdrawn, doesn't exist anymore. We can only have a translated sense of something original. We can only have an original sense, we can only have a simulated sense of something original. And she said, well, the astronomical order only imitates or simulates the action of the divine mind. So the whole universe of the Big Bang is an imitation, a simulation, a counterfeit of what's going on a higher level. On that higher level, the divine mind is that which holds everything together. If we withdraw that, the universe would no longer exist. But you annihilate matter, and matter and the universe would remain the forever fact. So if we annihilate the simulation, the counterfeit, we don't destroy the fact. So if the material concept of the world is destroyed, and it has to be destroyed, but I said the concept, the material concept of it, is destroyed, that does not destroy the reality of the universe, namely the spiritual substance of things hoped for. And the evidence of the immortality of man and the cosmos is sustained, so the immortality of the cosmos and man is sustained by the intelligence, divine principle, love. And you come always back to that principle, love, which is actually always at the helm of everything, because it says, whatever happens in the universe, no matter if it's the evolution of the spiritual or the structure or dissolving of error. It's always the divine principle love at work, because it wants to bring out the optimum of reality. So in this way, we perhaps find more insight into those two pages that Mrs. Eddy gives about the forces, and show us that Mrs. Eddy gives an answer to the question that the physicists have: what was before the Big Bang? Well, before the Big Bang was really the universe of mind, with the forces of mind, with all the various forces of mind, like adhesion, cohesion, attraction, but as spiritual adhesion, spiritual cohesion, spiritual attraction, but translated on a material level of thought, they show themselves as material attraction, material adhesion, material cohesion, and thank God they are that way in a material universe. What would we do without them? Without them, everything would fall apart, because our whole body in our whole body, these forces are at work. Within each atom, these forces are at work that keep the atom together so that it doesn't explode. Every little cell would explode, every organ would explode, if there were not these forces. Therefore, one can see that even the translated form of the spiritual to the material can be a great help, just as it is in healing. There we don't mind. There we don't have a question mark about the relationship between spirit and matter. There we find this is only good and natural and so on, that spirit controls matter, that the control of spirit is also the control of matter, that the equipoise, the balance of spirit is also the balance of our psyche, also the balance of our body, the balance of our relationship. Don't we like that? That we consider Christian Science level. The application of truth to an erroneous situation, to a material situation, to a mortal mind situation, trying to see that the higher controls the lower. So we give the answer to what has been before the Big Bang. We say before the Big Bang has been the universe of the divine mind, and its translated form is the universe of matter as we experience it. What mean that matter translates itself, that mind translates itself as matter? It translates itself as so that matter gives up its chaotic standpoint, so that what is called matter is actually, even from the point of view of the physicist, complete disorder, and that mind, translating itself to the complete disorder called matter, brings order into that disorder, and so, little by little, matter disappears. And if we say, no, it seems that the universe got bigger and bigger, we must say, no, the material universe as chaos began to disappear and disappear, and the greater order appeared, more order appeared, more sophisticated order, more complex order appeared. First, a more complex order in the purely anorganic universe, and then afterwards, as we know, on the Earth, about 3.5 billion years ago, the order of organic matter appeared, which brought forth always more and more complex forms, which means that matter lost constantly its disorder. So that matter finally and that the physicists would agree with it even today, that matter is resolved into order. Yes. Okay. There is another question I want to bring up, but I don't want it to be split apart, so we make a break here.